This is what we do. And you know, if the anticipation doesn't kill you, at some point, you know, you got to get started. So let's get started. We'll go to Mark chapter 1, which is the very beginning. Mark chapter 1. And we'll get to everything else down the road. And people are going to still file through here. That'll be awesome. You know, the saddest thing I think about the Bible is that people know the stories. Stories, stories, stories. The Bible is not about stories, and that's all people know. It is boring. The stories are boring. All right? I don't want to hear the stories. I don't want someone else to tell me the stories. The Bible is not about it. And we're going to study tonight. Are you wanting to tell me something, brother? Amen. You're going to shout at me. The Mark chapter 1, we're going to look at the beginning. Our title this afternoon, we have a title, A New Teaching. And it is a new teaching not about the stories of Jesus, not about the stories of the Bible. And we're going to see that in Mark chapter 1. Jesus has just called his disciples. And in verse 21 of Mark 1, the first thing they do, it says, they went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. All right? Now, he didn't go there to tell stories. He didn't go there to teach Sunday school. He didn't go there to make people feel better. He didn't go there to make people know about him a little better. He went there to teach. And you would think, as I would think, now why would he go to the synagogue to teach? Because they're already being taught. Wrong. There's nobody in the synagogue being taught diddly. And the synagogue is a modern-day denomination, and nobody's being taught a thing. And so the first place to go in Mark chapter 1, at the very beginning, here comes a straggler, is to go into the synagogue where people should be being taught, but they're just hearing the same old story over and over. They're passing the same old plate, reading the same old verses, coming up with the same old excuses, having the same old agenda as mom and dad, who didn't have any power in their life either. And so Jesus goes into the synagogue to teach. And the synagogue in the Bible is the modern-day denomination. It is something where God's word maybe is talked about, but not lived. It is where it is mentioned, but not powerful. Where the Bible, many parts of it have to be ignored because it's so powerlessly lived. And so Jesus goes into the synagogue to teach. And you got to love that. He didn't come to say, excuse me. And he didn't come to apologize. And he didn't come to wonder. And he didn't come to rub elbows, as many people do. And I'll tell you, he didn't come to look nice or compliment someone else on their dress. And so Jesus comes into the synagogue with his disciples to teach. And you know what? When you teach the truth, it gets ugly quick. All right? You ready? It gets ugly quick when you actually teach the truth. If you teach watered-down diddly junk, hey, it just doesn't matter. But here we go, verse 22. The people. And there's the difference between religious leaders and what the Bible calls the people. Verse 22, the people were amazed at his teaching, because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. You know, the people had never seen someone who believed it. I mean, they've always gone to the synagogue. There are people who always go to church. And they have never seen someone who actually believes it. And so the people, the Bible says, were amazed at his teaching. For two reasons. One, he taught as one who had authority. Let me tell you, when you get paid to quote-unquote preach, because it's not real preaching, but when you get paid for it, you are under the authority of the one who pays you, and you don't come to the people with authority. You come to the people with authority of men who write your paycheck. And when you're part of a corporation or making money on it, you don't come with authority. And there's so many people who have never seen anyone in their entire life teach with authority. And there's no wonder nobody believes it. I'll tell you, for 25 years, I didn't believe it because I only saw people teach it and mumble about it and make excuses about it who didn't have authority. And I'll tell you what, no thanks. And I wasn't interested. I can't imagine anyone being interested. But the people who actually had a chance to hear it from someone with authority who actually believed it were amazed.
Amen.
It's like, whoa, this guy has authority. He didn't come and have authority because his robe had a better tag on it than someone else's robe. I mean, he came with authority, and that amazed people, and that will amaze people. But if you get a paycheck for the gospel, you have no authority. You have a nose, a ring in your nose, and you'll be led around wherever you need to go by the person paying your paycheck. And until you go get a real job and make this your life and not your job, forget it. You have no authority. But if you want real biblical authority, then you be like Jesus, and you exercise the authority that God gave you, and there you go. There's another reason they were amazed. It's because he was, end of verse 22, not as the teachers of the law. Oh, that's amazing. I mean, this guy, we are amazed at this guy, Jesus, in the synagogue, because one, he's got authority, and he teaches like he's got authority, and two, he's not like the teachers of the law. He's not got a robe on. He's not being told a lot. Nobody really has a lot of nice things to say about him. He's actually open and honest. He's not like the teachers of the law. He didn't go to school for this and, you know, have a tie on and teach off a blackboard. That's fine if you're going to learn calculus that way, but not this that way. I mean, you can learn the Bible with respect to your own life, and that's what the Bible says. That's how it works. Well, let's do that. And so they're amazed. This guy's not like our teachers of the law. And you know how those teachers of the law are. I mean, after a while, it's like, well, let's go over this again. Blah, 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 blah. It's like, that is never going to get it. Never going to get it. And so already it's getting ugly. Because you know what happens in the very next verse? This is amazing. Mark 1, verse 23. Jesus on the scene. And it says, just then, a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit cried out. Well, that man had been a member of that denomination for years and years and years and never cried out. Nobody even knew the demons that were in him because no one ever preached the truth to reveal it. Nobody ever called those demons to account. Nobody ever called that man to account for his life. And therefore, all of a sudden, for the first time ever, a man in their synagogue. He's been coming every week. How you doing, Herb? I'm good. Boy, get the truth preached to Herb and watch him cry out.
Amen.
But continue to water it down, make a living on it, and oh, Herb will think he's fine, and Herb is a mess. Demon-possessed in every way. But you got to love that. Just then, a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit, this wasn't just now, this has been going on a while, cried out. And that's what the truth will do. The truth will make you cry out. The truth will make you get honest. The truth will challenge you. And the great thing about it is that is okay. See, I'll tell you what, I'll test you. I don't know if you go to some little denomination where they pass the plate and make money and build buildings on your Visa card, but that's fine. You can pretend if you want to. But I'll tell you what, you go to that place and cry out, and that is not acceptable there. You'll be shown the door. You go there and preach the truth, and that is not acceptable there either, as we'll see in a while. And because that would be a new teaching, and we don't need that here. I'm sure you don't. That's not going to fill the bank book. It is okay in the true ministry of Christ for people to have problems. My ministry is a disaster. I mean, you couldn't come up on a plane wreck, a train wreck, or anything more disastrous than us. And he cried out, and it is okay. We'll go from there. But you can't do that in most places. In fact, you got to dress up nice just to fit in. Dress up nice? I mean, I don't have what it takes to dress up nice. I mean, I don't get a come. Hey, I mean, you get the truth preached, and what gets revealed is what has been there all along. See, I'm an old geezer now, but I used to be on college campuses taking philosophy classes and majoring in it. I had no clue. And when the word was preached, my cluelessness cried out, I've got a hollow major! And I did. And still do. I didn't go back and pick up another one. Verse 24. This demon-possessed man is going to cry out. The demons are. You know, the demons have never had to cry out before. But we got a real teaching going on, so they better cry out now. Verse 24. What do you want with us? Us! There's more than one. Yeah, obviously. Jesus of Nazareth, have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. There were other demon-possessed men and women in there. They weren't crying out yet because they were maybe a little too prideful. But this guy kind of let the cat out of the bag. What do you want with us? Have you come to destroy us? You know, that's the accusation, and people don't know it, but they already handed themselves in. See, I've made rounds around this town. I'll more on that in a while. But I've made rounds around this town in different places that call themselves church with the truth, and they've said, you're going to destroy this place.
Oh, no.
Do you know who you are? Have you come to destroy us? Well, that would be the accusation against the truth when you're demon-possessed. See, I believe that no matter what you say, give me some empty, hollow philosophy, give me some empty, watered-down denominational lie, give me whatever, I'm pretty sure you can't destroy me. Go ahead, try. I mean, after philosophy and running up and down in the gutters of the world, I mean, it's like, what is going to hurt me? Come on, bring it on, you know. But, the person afraid of the truth is like, you're going to destroy us. Have you come to destroy us? Well, actually, 1 John does say that Jesus came to destroy the devil's work, and the answer is, yes! Yeah, you're on to it now!
Amen.
And that is awesome. I mean, yes, we've come to destroy you. See, that's why I don't get invited anywhere. You know, there are people, oh, come to my church. No one ever invites me. I'll come, but I can't sit there like these prideful demon-possessed men for years, not knowing any better. In fact, the last time I think I went into a place, they cleared the hall. And I was like, why are we clearing the hall? I'm not attacking anybody. But it was this guy. What do you want with us? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. See, Satan knows the deal. And the great thing that Satan does that's so powerful and effective is keeps us from knowing the deal. And what happens is people end up, there's this void in your heart and you want a relationship with God. Amen, everybody does, and you can't get away from it. But you don't know how to get it, and the best way the world has offered it is, well, go to church or try that or read your Bible or pray or do the best you can, and it doesn't work. And because nobody is preaching it with authority and nobody is preaching it for real, nobody ever knows. But when the truth gets preached, it all gets revealed. Now, Jesus responds to, I'll get you in a minute. You got to go?
No.
All right. Yeah, we'll get to you. Hang in there with it. Have a seat. Make yourself comfortable. Really? Maybe I will. No. Jesus is going to respond to this guy, which is awesome. Okay? Because, you know, in most places, if you cry out, what do you want with us? You're going to destroy us. It's like, get him out of here. Call the constable. Security? It's like, security? What kind of a Christian do you think you are? Jesus didn't call him security. You know, in the Bible, Jesus never called security. And if you have someone who thinks they're a Christian with a security guard, they're not in the Bible.
Amen.
So Jesus goes ahead and responds, not by calling 911, verse 25. Be quiet, he says. Said Jesus sternly. Come out of him. Exclamation point, exclamation point. You got to love that. I mean, this man who amazed people because he came with authority, didn't let him down, did he? Be quiet. You know, watered down gibberish is just so boring. See, I've made it known. That's my greatest objection to watered down truth. It's boring. And I can't endure the boredom. Well, you know, try harder. You know, what would the teachers of the law say to this guy? Well, Herb, you know, I just may be having a bad day. Well, Herb, you know, I don't know what to tell you. Just pray on that. Well, Herb, you know, I don't... Be quiet! Jesus said sternly, "Hey, Herb, I'm going to take you seriously." And he said sternly, it wasn't mamby-pamby, "Oh, well, I don't want to insult you. I don't want to be too hard on you here. Well, you know, I want you to keep coming." No, I don't even care what you have to say. I mean, just forget it. Be quiet, said Jesus sternly. Come out of him. See, that's the thing. If your stuff is not coming out of you, you don't have Christ. See, I am the most wretched person you'll ever meet. I'm the most sinful, wretched loser you'll ever meet. But the reason I know I have Christ is my stuff has come out of me. And if my stuff was still in me, and if your stuff is still in you to where it's like, well, you know, hey, that sin you don't talk about, shush! We don't want to talk about that here. Well, where are you going to talk about it? At the mall? Or in the synagogue? Don't bring that up here! We're dealing with it. Come out of him. You know, the Bible will truly cure you. It truly, really will. And if it's not, you don't have it. And if you can accept that nugget of truth, the humility you get from that might bring the grace of God and things can get rolling. But you know, people try really hard, and I appreciate that. You know, I didn't try hard at all. I was one of those pagans who wandered around for 25 years looking for the truth in all the wrong places. And some people try really hard. Some people actually try the Bible, even though nobody preaches it. Some people actually try church, even though nothing's going on except cookies, bake sale, fundraisers, and birthday parties. And people really try. How you doing? And people really try. But I want to appeal to you who try. Is your stuff coming out of you? Is your sin getting away from you? Are you being cured? Are you being healed? Are you being helped? Are you changing? Are you, dare I use the biblical word, repentant? Repentance? That's like a 180-degree turn away from sin. Repentance, that's impossible. Exactly. Exactly. We, you know, if it looks like, man, this guy wants you to do the impossible, I think you're onto something. I do expect the impossible. I do expect you to do the impossible because Jesus said to this guy who pretended forever in the synagogue, be quiet, come out of him. And that's what we do. And we don't do it with hocus pocus. This isn't Benny Hinn. Hey, who are these guys associated with? Nobody other than the Bible and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Who are they affiliated with? Who's paying the fare here? Well, nobody's ever going to pass a plate here. And the day we have, head for the hills, because we've fallen away. Truly, truly. And that could happen. I'm just warning you. If I start passing a plate, I have fallen away. And you can say, I think you've fallen away. And I'll probably bark and yell and scream at you. What are you going to do, destroy me? And then you'll know, wow, that guy became the guy he preached about. Amen. I listen so I can help him now because he has lost it.
Amen.
Now, Jesus says sternly, come out of him. That's what Jesus expects. See, when that's not happening, there's more there. We're going to get to it. Verse 26. Yeah, it gets ugly here. Hang in. You got to be able to hang in with ugly. Can you? Can you? I can. It's all ugly. The evil spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The sad thing that the world has done with the Bible is to water it down to a Hallmark card, a single saving verse. Put your hand on the TV and pray a prayer and you'll be saved, which isn't true. This is how it works. You want to get your act together? You want to get it straight? The evil spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. There will be incredible violence in a conversion to Christ. And anyone telling you differently is a liar, a false prophet, and doesn't know the truth. It will be violent. The reason they don't want to see it is, what am I going to do with this? Well, maybe, you know, I have a friend. They know a psychiatrist. I could recommend you. That's how you're going to handle the violence of my conversion? Gonna send you to the psycho ward. It's gonna get ugly. You need someone who knows the deal and isn't some wimp. You need someone with authority and the truth who's not wimpy to teach it to you. And it is a new teaching in the synagogue in Mark 1. After all, it is the beginning. And these people had never seen anything like it. The evil spirit shook the man violently. You will be shaken violently. The stuff that has to come out of you is intense. It has been there for years, just like this guy. It is why you tried this and tried that. Let me try school. Let me try that job. Let me try this relationship. Whew! Let me try that church and this verse and that Hallmark card. Whew! Let me try that music and that sport and that activity and that hobby. Whew! I don't know. Are you hooed out? I am. I don't have a lot of energy for that. It will be violent. Hang in. I'm not nervous. If it wasn't violent, I'd think you're lying. How you doing? I'm good. I don't think so. You're not real, and you're not honest, and you're not open. It will be violent. And you know the stuff will come out with a shriek. Yeah, I made a lot of noises that I never knew I could make. It's the noise ministry. Hey, the Bible itself says even when you have the Holy Spirit, it will groan on your behalf. If the Holy Spirit's going to groan, I got to feel okay about it. I mean, it will come out with a shriek. It doesn't come out with, forgive me, Father, for I have sinned. Please accept me. Amen. Woo! Yeah, tell me about that repentance now. And let's go ahead and get that magic marker and cross out all the verses that you have to ignore to believe that watered-down gospel. Better yet, get rid of this thing. It will be a shriek. And I think the biggest thing, this was true for me, the hardest thing about being converted to Christ, for real, see, I don't even like to talk like that, but the language has been so ruined that people don't know if you really mean it. You know, Jesus said, if you're really my disciples, if you hold to my teachings, then you're really my disciples. So Jesus talked like that. I guess it's okay for me to talk like that. If you really get converted, it's going to get ugly. But the hard thing for me was the fact that I thought nobody was real. I thought everybody was guarded. And so I was guarded. It's like nobody was honest. So I wasn't honest. Nobody was really genuine. So I wasn't going to trust myself. I understand. You need a grisly, roughed up, wiped out preacher, teacher, to get you to Christ. You don't need some well-dressed, well-fed, well-paid, gee, nice stained glass window person to help you, because you're going to shriek and you're going to convulse violently. And that person's going to hit the gas and be gone while you're in the parking lot while 911 people come take care of you. Verse 27. After seeing all this, how awesome is this? The amazement continues. Verse 27 of Mark 1. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, what is this? A new teaching? And with authority, he even gives orders to evil spirits, and they obey him. That is so awesome. What is this? A new teaching? What is this, a cult? What is this, sect? I haven't really heard about you from some of the traditional scholars. Thank you. The day I get heard of from a traditional scholar is the day I've probably passed the plate and paid to be on their rolls. What is this? A new teaching? You know, not really. Sadly, this really isn't a new teaching. But between the end of Malachi and the start of John the Baptist and Jesus in Mark 1, during that period, man, it so watered down the Bible. See, we could jump in the Old Testament and show you this isn't really new at all. But man, it so watered down the Bible. It was good business. And tax-free at that. It ought to be respected. I was like, what is this, a new teaching? Mom, Dad, Grandma, Grandpa, my entire heritage. Nobody ever warned me about this. Nobody ever told me it'd be like this. It's not really a new teaching. It just looks new because the watered-down work of man who have watered down the gospel to feed it to people who will pay if you tell them nice things or what they want to hear, but not what they need to hear. Can you imagine if physicians treated you that way? Well, who do I want to see? That guy will make you feel good and you'll be dead in a week. That guy's going to cut you up, you're going to be bleeding, hurting, a lot of rehab, but you'll live a long life. Well, what do I want short-term, long-term? A new teaching and with authority. Again, I mean, the amazing thing is that they saw that Jesus came to them with authority. There's so many people with no authority at all. You know, Jesus says you have authority to go make disciples. You do not have authority to have a bake sale. You don't have authority to spend poor people's money on a building. You don't have authority for all the things that people exercise authority for. You know, it's like, what am I going to have, some diploma from some Bible college up on the wall? They're going to give me some authority? Where is that in the Bible? The only people who did that were the teachers of the law who Jesus replaced, and they said, hey, this guy's got authority. He's not like the teachers of the law. But take that diploma down. That thing disqualifies you. I don't care if you graduate in engineering, that's great, but if you graduate from Bible college, throw that thing away and forget about it. That's about as good as a philosophy major. You got to run?
No, that's where my question is.
Okay.
About the authority.
Okay, I'm going to get to you. Okay, someone will get to you. It's all right, hang in there with me. We're gonna see it. You got to love this, end of verse 27. They're like, wow, not only didn't we ever see anybody like this, we never saw somebody like this. And we never saw this happen. They say, he even gives orders to evil spirits, and they obey him. It had been many, many years since Malachi was on the scene confronting Satan. You know, people hadn't seen Satan squashed in a while. People hadn't seen lies exposed in a while. And they're like, he even takes on demons, evil spirits. He even takes on Satan and wins. I think so. Is your pastor winning? And no pastor of the Bible if he's not. And if somebody cannot reveal to you the defeats you're taking and why you're taking them, then they are a teacher of the law, and they have no authority to teach. And God has made that clear in every way. Jump ahead to Acts chapter 5. I mean, even Satan will submit to you. The demons will submit to you. The Bible says you resist him, he will flee from you. None of this, oh, I'm on the run from Satan. Boy, it's really hard out there. What is that in the Bible? I do your best. Oh, I know it's all hard. Eventually we'll die and go to heaven. What kind of attitude is that? You might as well die now. And I'll tell you why. It's because I lived 25 years convinced God wasn't the answer because of people who were wimpy like that. I say, woo! And people think their relationship with God is supposed to help them have a better life. Well, you know, more than you can imagine, amen. But it's like, please, the only reason to still take in oxygen is to give people what you have. Obviously, you got nothing because you don't share it. All right, amen. Forget that. Sorry. Yeah, I mean, the whole idea of being afraid of Satan, taking a beating from Satan and saying, well, that's a wimpy, unauthoritative attitude. And very common. Acts chapter 5. Now Jesus' disciples are on the scene in Acts 5. And they've already made some rounds and they're getting in, you guessed it, all kinds of trouble. Wow! Yes, yes, yes. Jesus is up in heaven. He's done. The disciples are now doing it. And they are in all kinds of trouble. And you know who they're in trouble with? Not the people, but the same old religious pretenders from Mark 1 in Acts 5, verse 17. Then the high priest and all of his associates, 100% unity, who were members of the party of the Sadducees, were filled with jealousy. How are we going to build a new building if the truth gets to the people and they stop throwing it down the gutter, giving it to us? Filled with jealousy. You know, when you're filled with something, there's not room for anything else. I think that's the definition of filled. The high priest, the muckety muck, and all his associates handed over to jealousy. And you know, the Bible says, who can stand before jealousy? I mean, you become like jello in jealousy. It's like, whew, you're just done, right? I mean, that's a hard handover. It's like to be dropped into being filled with jealousy is difficult, but it is common. Let me tell you something. Every place I have gone that purports to preach the word, but doesn't really preach the word, has been filled with jealousy from the head of that place down. And I'm not talking the head of Jesus Christ. I'm talking about the one with the biggest paycheck. And they have been filled with jealousy that the truth is actually being preached for free. That the truth with authority is being preached for nothing. And they go, what is this, a new teaching? No. This is not a new teaching. This is the Bible all along, and the disciples have the same message Jesus had and filled these people with jealousy. Verse 18. What's the solution? We need to read more. We need to pray more. We need to preach a greater truth to win our people back. Oh, no, no, no. That would be too biblical, too spiritual. Verse 18. The religious leaders, what do? They always do this. They arrested the apostles and put them in the public jail. There, that'll do it. The greatest enemy of the truth are religious people who do not have the truth. They are the ones who confuse people, and they are the ones filled with jealousy, and they are the ones who will fight tooth and nail to keep the truth from going out. That is how it was in Jesus' day. That is how it is today. And that is how it was for the apostles. That's how it was in the Old Testament and the New. The greatest enemy of the truth is the false prophet. I think that's probably why two-thirds, three-fourths of the Bible is about false religion, about false teaching. The Bible could be so short if that wasn't a problem. Verse 19. But I'll tell you this. One way or another, God is going to get his deal done. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. You know, God will always provide a way. People ask us, hey, where do you meet? Well, I don't know. In the Bible, they either met in their homes or in the public. That's where we meet. Oh, where do you meet? A place these people paid for. And by the way, they buy their groceries on their Visa cards. Now, I haven't read any of that in the Bible. But God is going to get his deal done. Verse 20, the angel of the Lord speaking, go, stand in the temple courts, he said, and tell the people the full message of this new life. The greatest enemy is a religious person with half a message. The greatest enemy of the truth is a religious person with one verse. The denomination with one verse. The Hallmark card with half a verse. The greatest enemy of the truth is half the truth. Jesus came and preached the whole truth. Satan came back and preached part of the truth, and people took part and ran with it and never knew it was part, though God has made it plain in every way. You look at the sin you're in and the powerlessness in your life to do anything about it, and it lets you know you got half the truth. You look at the confusion you're in, the weakness you're in, the trouble of heart you're in, the confusion and the anxiety you're in, and it lets you know from heaven above you got half the truth. He said, go. See, they were not done. They preached a little of this and a little of this. And we're not done today either. Amen. We'll be back. but, you know, the angel of the Lord said, all right, hold on. Go to the temple courts. Well, the temple courts, someone might see me. I think that's the point. Well, I was going to go to the Convention of Baptists. Oh, please, how much you pay for that? $1,700 a head. It'd be better to burn that and just claim yourself an idiot. Go, stand in the temple courts. Stand! Can't I sit in a hole? And tell the people, and not just the religious people, the people who are already up for it. The full message. The full message. It is said, you know, people try, but God is faithful. People try, all right, I'm going to watch that program. All right, now he's telling me to pray that prayer. And that's it? That's it? All right, Jesus, come into my life, and I'm sorry, and come into my life and take over my life. Amen. That's it? No, that's not the full message. And isn't that obvious from your life? You show me, you tell me, oh, is this all coming true in your life? Be joyful always? Life to the full? You tell me, are you amazed it's already 2003? Uh-huh. Yeah, your life is flying by because it's not full. Yeah, that's it. Uh-huh. Guilty. That's all right. It's not like you're a criminal. You're no more a criminal than me. But the fact is you don't have the full message. That's all right. And it's evidenced by the fact that you don't have the fullness the Bible talks about. Hang in there with us. The full message. It's like, all right, let me go to this church. Da-da-da-da-da. Oh, it's just not feeding me. I'm not getting it. Let me go to this church. Da-da-da-da. Try this on. It's just not working. Let me just read it on my own. You know, the Bible says that'll never work. Never work? How is it going to work? You're going to need the full message and all the religious orchestration. You see, you know, most people run their quote-unquote churches, because there's no church at all. They run it in accordance with the Internal Revenue Code, the 501c3 nonprofit code. You know why they do that? So they don't have to pay taxes. Well, I'll tell you what, the ministry of the Bible lives by the Bible, not the IRS code. It is the full message, and there's more than today. Hang in there. We'll get to it. But he wants them to preach the full message. I think many of us, and hey, this wasn't me. I was a total pagan in the world, okay? I didn't ever read the Bible until I was 25. But many people are what the Bible would call worshipers of God. You know, Lydia in Acts 17 was a worshiper of God. She wasn't a disciple of Jesus, which is the only thing Jesus called her to be, but she was a worshiper of God. She wanted to try. She wanted to do better. She wanted to know. And there are many, many people who are worshipers of God in a true biblical sense. They're not disciples of Jesus. They don't have the full message, but they could get it. And I think what you need to see is God's faithfulness in your life to let you know you ain't got the full thing. Is that why it keeps crumbling? Uh-huh. Is that why it works for a while and then it comes apart? Uh-huh. That's why. Tell the people the full message of this new life. Something scared me. See, I was a pagan with tickets to Las Vegas, 25 years old. I didn't want a new life. I wanted to go to Vegas. And someone came up to me. Michael was studying the Bible with me, and someone came up to me and said, it'll totally change your life. And I was thinking inside, yikes! I don't want a whole new life. All right. Well, I'll tell you what. There's no way to fix what you want to fix if we don't go to the inside out. And so it's all going to, you know, that's how it works. And it is the full message of this new life. And that's the only way to do it. And so it will be from the inside. It's like from the inside out, you're out. Whoa, that's ugly, isn't it? Yeah, a lot of shrieking, a lot of violence. Amen. That'll be how it always is. And from the inside out, God will rebuild you and restore to you your talents, your abilities, your hopes, and your really, in many ways, righteous desires to serve God for real with the full message. And I'll tell you what, when you have a partial message, you got nothing to share. I mean, Satan shared partial messages. I mean, Satan came up to Jesus in the desert, and what did he do? He shared the Bible with Jesus. Well, how helpful was that? Well, it was actually a tempting thing to water down the rest of it. Exactly. It doesn't work. And we all are tempted with it. But the cool thing is, God will always let you know. And God will always let you know in your life where you're at. And so let me appeal to you about this. It is a full message, and it is a new life. Please, 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 do not settle for less. Okay? When you have sin, and the sins are in the Bible, and they are obvious, and they're the things we don't talk about, when you have sin in your life, don't settle for that being your life, because that's God letting you know you don't have it. That's okay. The guy in the synagogue didn't have it, and it was okay. Don't settle for something short of a new life. Don't settle for something short of the full message of the truth. And the temptation is to settle. Do not settle. It is a new teaching that, hey, there's so much more. It is a new teaching. Sadly, not really, but in this day and age, it is a new teaching that you got to get it all or you don't have it. It is all or nothing. It's not part. And so that's what we're after. We will be here often. We'll work it out. We'll be here often preaching the full message of this new life, which sadly for most is a new teaching. And I'll tell you, it comes with authority because there's no paycheck bankroll in this effort. And you got to love that. Let's pray. Amen. Father, we thank you for this time together to study your word. We thank you, God, for a chance to just start to look at it. And Father, we pray that we will not settle for something less than the full truth and a new life. Father, please do not let us settle for a watered-down truth. Let us not settle for part of the gospel or part of the Bible. Let us not settle for accepting some sins in our life. Let us not settle, Father, for anything other than what your word calls us to and what Jesus called us to. We thank you for this day together. In Jesus' name, amen.